Hi, I'm David Pogue. Welcome to the RV Navigator Podcast, your digital home for the RVing lifestyle. Visit the RV Navigator homepage at rvnavigator.com for additional information about each episode. And now, here are your hosts, Ken and Martha, podcasting from their mobile studio that might be parked in a campground near you.
The big RV Navigator New Year's Eve podcast is about to begin.
The show you've been waiting for.
And here we are with the bottle in hand, ladies and gentlemen. It's New Year's Eve 2025. And
we are opening a bottle of champagne.
No, we are not.
In our new...
Oh, jeez.
In our new house, which might get christened by...
Oh, here comes. I got it. This is real...
Real good stuff.
And not only that, but we didn't have to buy it.
No.
It was donated by a listener.
Wow.
Who wanted to hear the effects of champagne on your RV navigators.
I don't think that's why they gave it to you.
Well, I hope it doesn't squirt.
That's why I brought the towel.
Okay.
That was masterfully done.
He did it once again. And now for the exquisite pouring of the champagne.
Ooh, I like champagne. It makes me feel like I'm on a cruise.
That's right. Okay, one glass. And the navigator's glass.
While you are pouring, I should say that this is the RV Navigator Podcast.
Yes.
For January 2026, episode 249. Cheers, my dear.
And we are... Okay. And we are using the over 65 New Year's Eve rule.
Which we honestly have used for many years. Ooh, this is nice and dry.
So we're using the official over 65 rule for New Year's Eve, which states that New Year's Eve is actually at 10 o'clock before the real New Year's Eve, because we don't make it till midnight anymore, as many over 65ers. And this year we were... planning on going to our outdoor celebration.
Where the ball drops at 9 p.m.
But unfortunately, Florida has turned very cold.
Oh, I bet everybody feels really bad about it.
and it's going to be, in the 40s and 50s. So we're not going to sit outside for the New Year's Eve celebration. So we are celebrating indoors by ourselves, unfortunately, at the moment. But we will pick up with some other folks in the not-too-distant future to look at New Year's Eve 2025. Uh-oh, time for some champagne. Okay.
So before we get too much further in, I should say that you should visit our website, which always has a lot of information and details about this month's podcast, and download the beautiful calendar, which I have not seen yet. What is it of?
Glaciers.
Oh, sure. From Alaska.
From Alaska, right.
I bet you had a hard time picking. We saw so many beautiful things.
And, of course,
I saw
some, Facebook posts from Alaska, and today it was... Fairbanks has been below 40 degrees below zero for 50 hours.
And it's pitch
black. I don't
think
we have ever experienced 40 degrees below zero.
That sounds scary to me.
40 degrees below zero, you notice I'm not saying Fahrenheit or centigrade.
Because it doesn't matter.
Because 40... nothing matters at 40 degrees. Because 40 degrees below zero is where Fahrenheit and centigrade cross.
So it doesn't matter.
Exactly. So 40 degrees below zero is 40 degrees below zero in both centigrade and Fahrenheit. Can you believe? Oh, boy, I need something to drink.
It's hard to imagine.
That is really cold. And, of course, we were there, and it was beautiful weather. I mean,
That's why you go there in the summer.
75, and we've had pictures of Laird's hot springs where the place was virtually iced over except for the hot water.
And I know I'm not here to talk about Alaska again, but the weather patterns of the state confounded me initially, because it's often uncomfortably hot in Fairbanks because it's smack dab in the middle of the country, and when the sun is out all the time, it can be very hot there, much hotter than all the towns along the coast.
Much hotter. Okay, so new topic. We are very hop, very hoppy, very.
You better stop drinking right now. No, he's had exactly two sips.
You wouldn't guess it. Hey, but it's the end of the year, and we're in Florida where it's warm and toasty and sunny and has all the vacation things that you would expect.
Well, today is kind of semi-warm, but still.
Yeah, not really. Still. It's freezing cold down here. Jeez, what the hell are we? Anyway, we wanted to say hello once again to all the lurkers. We had, last month we chided the workers. The
Quite
lurkers
a few of you came out of the bushes.
I know. Fortunately, you had your clothes on.
And I might have said it, being a lurker myself on Facebook, I realized the impulse just to pick up tidbits and not get involved in the conversation. So we really thank you for being brave and identifying yourselves.
So we had some nice conversations, and I hope that I replied to all of the lurker emails. If you were a lurker and came out of the bushes and you didn't hear from us, I'm very sorry. Somehow your email got lost, and if you resend it, I will re-unlurk you.
And we thank all of those who, those of you who were brave enough to respond, and the rest of you lurkers.
Interesting stories.
We hope to hear from you next year.
It is really interesting to hear from our listeners and to hear your stories and what you're doing, and even some questions about cruising.
Oh, we're so glad that you like to listen to us rant and rave about that, too. Good things, both.
The motorhome has been here in our Florida home, parked in its garage for the first time.
It deserves it.
It deserves it. And it's getting ready to have some repairs. Well, I didn't tell you about this, I don't think, in Alaska. But I
mentioned it in my blog, but only in passing.
But it's scheduled for some
major body work.
Well, minor cosmetic body
work. Oh, it's
work.
I who need the major body work.
I had a little
work,
run-in with a gas station in Alaska, but hopefully the insurance will pay for it all, and we will be able to go on just as normal.
And forget all about it.
That's going to take 2 weeks for it to sit at the shop in order to get some paint job and some new doors.
We're so grateful to have the opportunity to have this work done here at the Great Outdoors because, except for paying the bill, it's a rather painless process. We are staying in our new house, and the motorhome is in the garage, and then we'll go to the garage of the repair facility, which is a whopping mile and a half away from here.
Yep.
And during the estimated 2 weeks that it's getting its facelift, we can go over there and visit it and see how things are going. Couldn't be easier. We are so lucky to have a spot here at TGO.
Yes, that's a real benefit of us having a house here and using this as our RV home. So the year in review. I mean, always when at the end of the year, in
December, have to make the top 10 lists. What's your top 10?
Well, we did 3 great trips.
All right, that gets you to 7.
Living with you.
Oh, there you go. Now you're on the right track.
Meeting all of our friends. And you have to come up with some.
No, I asked the question.
Okay, well, so early in the year, we went to Polynesia.
Highly recommend.
A very nice cruise. And the year has been good to us. And we don't know how much longer that will continue. And then we, of course, went to Alaska, which we've explained for 85
days. In
depth. And then last month we explained to you about the bears, and that was a great experience in Churchill, Manitoba, in Canada. So we've done 3 great trips this year, zoomed with our motorhome around lots of parts of the country, and had a good time.
And we hope in the upcoming year to be able to continue reports of RVing per se and exotic parts of the world. We're still working on our bucket list, which grows ever longer. So we hope that we have a lot of interesting new travels to talk to.
Exactly.
About
I think that 26 is going to be another gangbuster year for us. You know, as I cross into 80 years old, which I will do in June. Wait.
May. You were born in May.
I better have another drink. Okay. Glasses clinked. When is my birthday?
In May. We won't say the year, but if you're going to be 80, people can figure it out.
And so we're going to pose a question to our listeners for email responses. Do we see ourselves, or do you see yourself RVing?
Or do you see us RVing?
Do you see? Well, they don't care about
whichever version of the question you want to answer.
Do you see yourself RVing in 5 years? Me, If my body holds up, yes.
That's the key obstacle.
Can I drive? I have to do all the driving, yes. So can I drive? A lot of people have trouble with seeing at night, and I don't seem to have that trouble.
No,
so,
but
and I
generally,
seem to be able to drive. Did I drive okay in Alaska?
You seem to, except for that one little encounter with the gas station.
It's only going to cost us $20,000 to fix.
Could have happened to anybody at any time. I don't think that had anything to do with being almost 80.
No, I don't think that did either, because it happened in a gas station. So
you were going 2 miles an hour,
yeah,
if that.
So. Anyway, will we be RVing? Nobody knows what the future holds, but we certainly hope to. I'll answer that again when I'm 85.
Ooh. It's always good to have goals, and it's our impression that we made up ourselves that travel keeps our brains functioning and well lubricated without champagne, because there's always a lot to think about, details to arrange, fun things to look forward to and get excited about. And that helps us to stay young, at least in our own minds. So while Ken is drinking, I will just allude to the fact that we have some fun stuff planned for the year ahead.
Really?
And look forward to reporting to you on it as it happens.
We're going someplace in the future?
Always.
Okay. Where are we going?
The next place is to visit the winter hunting ground of the monarch butterfly in Mexico.
Not the winter.
The winter
ground.
Hunting ground.
Their retirement facility. Yeah, we fly to Mexico City, of all places, and we're doing that here from Orlando, and we're going to visit the monarch butterflies. If you take a look at Sunday morning TV broadcast, they had a segment done by David Pogue a few months ago about the monarch butterflies.
The original segment we saw was done by Anderson Cooper. He went there himself. That was on 60 Minutes.
I stand corrected.
Well, both are true.
Okay.
So it's been covered twice.
The monarch butterflies migrate to someplace just outside of
a name we
Mexico
can't pronounce
City.
Because we're drinking. But even if we weren't drinking, we would do a lot better pronouncing it next month after we have been there.
And we'll know much more about it. But we're going to go visit the millions, literally, of butterflies that migrate down there from the United States. So we're going to join our fellow monarch. We can consider ourselves
honorary monarchs. Okay.
And that's a fairly short trip because obviously you go to these places and visit the monarchs and then you leave. And I assume that there will not be a lot of tourists there.
They hang out in more than one spot. So
yes,
we're going
we go to
a
two or
variety
three spots,
of spots
to make sure that we see them.
This
happens only in January, kind of like the polar bear thing. And we will be.
It happens in the winter. So they're there for a few months.
But it happens only over a couple of months.
Optimally, we are there when most of them have arrived and before most of them die, which is what they do there after they mate.
Aww.
So we're trying to pick the optimum moment to see them at their best.
We come back to Mexico City, and we make a quick flight to Laredo, which is on the Baja. And from there, we get on a small cruise ship, and we'll be spending 8 days in the Baja watching the whales, something we've wanted to do for quite a long time. Another bucket list item.
When we first retired, we went on a caravan to Mexico. I think that's the first caravan we took.
An RV caravan.
And one of the days the leader said to us, tomorrow we're going to go whale watching if you want to go. And by then, even though we
had... kind of towards the end of the trip.
Even though we were newly retired, we had done a lot of fun stuff like whale watching before, and we were kind of ho-hum. We did not realize what an experience whale watching in the Sea of Cortez is, because this is an area where the mother whales come from Alaska, probably the same ones we saw up there, give birth and nurse their babies. And they've been doing this forever. And they are so safe and comfortable there that when you go out in a little boat, maybe 10 people max, they come right up to your boat. They may let you touch them.
They show you their babies.
And they open those big mouths and you smell all the delicious things they just ate from the sea. What a fabulous experience that was. We were so glad we did it last time, but we were not mentally prepared.
I was not at all prepared.
Or photographically prepared.
That's
for
the real issue. Crummy
what
pictures.
We saw. So we are so excited that we will be able to do it again.
And we will be going in Zodiacs to see other aspects of the Baja, the natural Baja. So that's going to be an exciting experience. And then we come back to here. That's only 2 weeks total, so we're going to spend most of the winter right here.
We're taking a vacation from our vacation. Life is cruel.
And then we are going...
to Japan? Is that what
to
you're
Japan.
Reaching for here?
Yes, we're going to Japan, and we're doing a land trip, and then we're sailing back to the United States via Alaska. So we're going to see some of the cruise ports that Alaska offers.
That we weren't able to see this summer. So
although we've cruised in Alaska a couple times.
Look ahead to another Alaska report.
After just driving there, what the cruise experience is like. So that's a three-week cruise. We sail back, you know, and of course it saves the flight. Most of the trip on the cruise is paid for by what we would pay for the airline ticket.
And it's a lot more fun than sitting in a plane for 24 hours or whatever it ends up being.
Yes, exactly. So, and we're going on a line that we haven't been on before, Oceania.
More details later.
And then at the end of the summer, we're doing, in August, this will be Iceland.
With Oat, our,
we're
one
doing
of our
the drive around that circle drive around Iceland that everybody does. And although we have been to Iceland a couple times on cruises, we have never really done the road trip. So we're doing the road trip in Iceland. And then once again, we're not sailing back to the United States. We're going to sailing to Greenland.
An island that we will soon own. And then we will be sailing back to the United States.
The 51st state.
Exactly.
By Greenland.
Exactly.
Oh, the president sent a special envoy to Denmark in order to get Greenland. I don't believe that. We will be doing Greenland and then back here. We'll be back to our house in Florida.
Which right now still feels more like an Airbnb than our own house.
Outfitting a house is
it's a lot of work, and we did it so simply. We bought this house from a delightful lady who was moving north to be closer to her children. I told her, take what you need, leave what you don't need, and now we are reaping the benefits / work from what she did, because we are gradually going through every room and every closet. She was very well organized and everything is neat as a pin, but even so, figuring out what we've got and then figuring out what we're going to do about it will probably take us all winter, which is fine because we have all winter.
Exactly.
And next door to us is parked the motorhome, which we know has everything we need to live. So tonight, Ken is making one of his delicious hamburger dinners with
my foreman.
And we don't have a foreman in the house, but we have it in the motorhome.
Steal it from the motorhome.
So that makes it easy to gradually fill in what we need and what we use.
So now it's time to talk about TVs. I am going to replace the TV. This one is only a 50-inch. How could you live with just
a 50-inch? Which TV are we talking about? The one here?
Yes.
He's buying multiple TVs. So right now he's talking about the first TV he's going to buy.
Well,
excuse me for being confused.
I'm using that as a prelude to our home TV, which I have an OLED, which is considered to be top of the line. But I cannot believe, if you have an OLED or if you have an older TV, that our OLED at home is probably close to 10 years old. I bought them when they were very expensive, and now they're just expensive.
Of course you did.
And the home TV has been kind of having funny colors, and I couldn't figure out why. So I went to YouTube, and I downloaded a TV tester, which basically is colored screens that display on your TV.
Like a solid color.
A solid
Pantone color.
Right. I mean, you can get ones with resolution and stuff, but this was just the colors. And I was stunned at how our TV had burn-in. And burn-in is where you have dark spots as a result of overusing pixels.
It surprises me to say this, but I noticed this problem on this TV apparently quite a bit before Ken did, I knew if I said the least little thing, we'd be buying a new TV, and it didn't bother me at all, but it's gradually gotten worse. And I must admit that the treasurer...
Even you agree that the TV is looking bad?
It was looking bad for a long time.
And it's funny because it's not like there's a snow or distortion.
Certain colors like magenta,
yeah,
the weather forecasting lady, when she stands in that certain spot next to the weather map, her clothes looked very weird.
And I never play games on that TV. It's never left on, just kind of in the background. It's our main TV, so we watch it a few hours a night, and that's about it. But, wow. So my suggestion is if your TV is reasonably old, that you might want to run this tester on it and see if it is still in good shape.
And if you can't afford to buy a TV, just don't do it and keep watching it.
They're so much cheaper.
It's amazing.
I mean, we looked at
Walmart,
and you could buy a 32-inch for $88.
Wow.
Now, of course, I'm going to buy something that's somewhat bigger than that, and it's going to be much higher end. Actually, I'm going to buy two OLEDs, one for here and one for our other home.
This is exactly the same one you're going to buy twice?
It'd probably be the same model, just
different
sizes.
Different size, uh-huh.
Yeah, because here we have only space for a smaller TV. So, dear listener, it's time for you to check your TVs to make sure that they are in good shape.
And I'll try to provide a link. And if you can't afford a new one, just don't do it.
You know, you can always go to the RV Navigator homepage and look at our... the screen. Okay, I'll shut up. Go to the RV Navigator homepage for this episode, and hopefully I will have a link to one of the screen testers for your TV. I couldn't believe that TV was crapping out on me so fast.
Why not? I could see it with my own eyes.
It's not that I didn't think it was that old. Well, I wasn't planning on replacing it. The picture quality is good. It's an OLED, which is top of the line. It's a quality TV.
We don't think we're that old either. Going on.
Oh, how to bring a guy down.
Why? I'm right behind you.
Now, I'm having a hard time with these serious topics.
Well, who made this agenda?
Wi-Fi security. I hear all the time people talking about that Wi-Fi security and to be careful that your data is not being stolen.
But what does that mean? What do you have to do?
Yeah, that's really one of the issues that you really need to understand completely. Because a password is needed to log on to the Wi-Fi does not have anything to do with Wi-Fi security. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
It does. The Wi-Fi password...
Well, it makes you... It's a false sense of security, I would
right,
say.
Right, right. A lot of people say, don't use it at the airport and don't, you know, use it at public places because it's insecure.
And what happens when they tell you to keep changing your password? Does that really help?
They don't do that because this is the router that's password.
Oh.
So when you see Wi-Fi and then it asks for a password, the only thing that's being... check there is that you have the password to for your device to log on to the router that is providing the access. There is no security for your data. The data is still not encrypted. It's still an open air, and anybody with a packet sniffer can read your data because the data is not secure. The only thing that password does anytime you have a Wi-Fi password, the only thing that does is give you access to the router. And once that password is used, it is no longer in the loop.
Can anyone own a packet sniffer? Is that a cheap and easy thing to buy and operate?
You have to know how to use it, but it certainly is not anything very technical. And what that does is it reads the packets of data that are going through, and they can sniff home in on yours and read all of the packets that are being sent.
Is that similar to when people can get in your garage door opener by lifting up the signals that your remote clicker sends?
Now that I think about it, that probably is a fairly good once
analogy.
The garage door is open, they can do whatever they want to.
Right.
And it probably is a fairly decent explanation. Yes, once the garage door is open, they can come into your house and take whatever they want. If you have no security system in your house, your house is totally unprotected once the garage door is open. So your next question is, how do I secure my data?
Is it possible?
Yes. You can encrypt your data, and that's what a VPN does. A VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, and a VPN actually encrypts your data. So security on Wi-Fi is actually a two-step process. One, getting onto the router, and two, then encrypting your data so that it is not readable by anybody with a sniffer.
Can you get a free VPN?
Oh, you have to ask...
Is it worth to get a free VPN?
Well, where do they make their money? VPNing is not free. I mean, somebody's paying something, and it's like with Google. I rarely do anything with Google because Google's primary product is me.
So what kind of price are we talking about?
So we pay $5 or $6 a month for encrypting our data. Now, Most people think about a VPN as a tool to make you, the internet, think you're in a different physical location. And that's, and it does do that, because you can choose a server virtually any place in the world where it will think you're located. However,
and there have been times when I have used a VPN because where I was, I couldn't get back to a website that I usually use in the United States that is local and free and nothing wrong with it. But because it thinks I'm somewhere else, it won't let me have access because it's not safe, it thinks.
So a VPN provides a tunnel, a secure tunnel between you and a server that is located someplace else, and you usually get to choose where that server is located. So I can create a secure tunnel between me in Canada and Chicago or Miami or wherever I want to be. I can create a secure tunnel, and nobody can read the traffic between me and that server. And then the server on my behalf goes out to the internet, picks up the data that I'm seeking, and sends it back through the tunnel to me.
So, for example, last summer when we were in Canada, I tried to go on MyChart, which is a pretty commonly used medical record website that I communicate with my doctors on, and it would not let me in while I was in Canada. I had to go on a VPN in order to get my usual access.
Exactly. And so that tunnel is very secure, and it would be almost impossible to break that encryption.
I might also add that if you're on crappy Wi-Fi in a campground, it slows the whole process down, and you might go out and fry an egg and make a sandwich before you get your website downloaded, but it's safe.
Starlink works well for this. And as she says, this tunnel, creating the encryption in the tunnel and all that sort of stuff does take extra horsepower. So your computer needs to be working harder. But in many cases, that provides a very secure connection. And that is actually more important to me than the Wi-Fi password or free Wi-Fi. Unencrypted Wi-Fi is just wide open. A VPN, though, works fine in airport or on free Wi-Fi or any place else that you're a little bit worried about the sketchy Wi-Fi.
Question. I like to think that as an old lady with not a high profile in life, that when I'm in an airport and I get on their website, their Wi-Fi, which I know is insecure, and I chat with my sister, that it won't harm anything, that it won't make any difference. But by giving access to it, am I giving it access to my entire computer and its contents?
Usually no, but it can happen. They can create a tunnel into your computer and
steal everything.
And steal stuff from your computer. It would depend on the situation, on what the software you have open and what ports are open. So
even chatting with my sister is no longer safe.
Well, you don't have to worry about a Wi-Fi password much. If you're the only one out in the middle of nowhere, there's nobody there to, and all of this stealing of your password and stealing of your data and stuff happens within 150 feet of where you're located.
But if I'm in an airport waiting for a plane.
Well, that's the issue, is that an airport is a very busy spot, and there are all sorts of people around that you don't know what they're doing, and this person sitting with his laptop open working could be working on
me.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're in your RV using your Starlink and you're in the middle of nowhere, there's very little chance that you would need
it. Fort Knox.
Yeah, well, the distance is like Fort Knox, exactly. And if you're at your house, I'm not worried about it here. Our neighbors are not going to be sniffing our packets, and I
can you sniff their packets?
Of course. Well, I could, but I don't.
You don't have those.
But, I mean, you would have to be sitting in your driveway in order for them to gain access to your Wi-Fi. So I don't use a VPN around home.
So if you were a listener who is in an apartment building where many people are all around you.
Right.
Or in a campground.
150 feet mm-hmm. or so. If anybody is in a populated area, like a Starbucks or someplace, you have no idea who's there.
Think of it like catching the flu. If there's someone close enough to give you the flu, it could happen.
Is that kind of...
Has anybody ever complained to you about how loud that goddamn horn is when I blow on it? It is really loud. Sorry. I'll try to restrain myself.
They complain about how good the wine tastes.
I'll try to restrain myself and move on to the next topic.
Thank you, Doug and Sally.
Which is very consternating to me, I think to you too. The Chase Sapphire credit card, Chase Sapphire Reserve credit card.
The CSR.
That we have been using for many years very happily, had a high annual fee and now has an exorbitant high annual fee.
Everybody says, how could you spend $500 on a credit card?
And now it's $800.
And now it's $800.
And we've been torturing ourselves. Should we keep it? Are the benefits that it has worth it? Obviously, this is a decision that you make annually. So if you make the wrong decision this year, you can change your mind for next year. One of our beloved listeners who went to Alaska with us has tortured herself in this regard as well and has come down on the other side of our decision, but our circumstances are not totally analogous.
So ladies and gentlemen, if this is an issue for you and you're asking yourself, why would I spend $800 a year for an annual membership or subscription to a credit card? Well, we've talked about this in the past.
We have.
And basically, the benefits that we get from the credit card are more than the cost of the credit card. So you automatically get $300 off of travel. So that's
on your
that's
first
easy.
Trip.
We're now getting $250 a year for Apple TV and Apple Music. And I think the thing that has come down to us as a major benefit is the insurance. We have looked at travel insurance. And travel insurance for us, because we travel several times a year, we want an annual policy, is quite expensive. And we have looked at, for our age group, on the order of $1,200 a year for travel insurance. And that would include baggage and trip interruption and some medical. And one of the big ones is EVAC.
Now, of course, the price of this insurance is aggravated by the fact that we are old. But
how old are we?
You do want to have coverage for these things, especially if you travel as much as we do. And that, to me, is one of the keys. If you are going to have this card, you need to travel a lot and take advantage of its benefits.
Right. And passport for getting into the lounges is another nice feature. So
wonderful.
This offers us several worthwhile advantages that other people may not take advantage of. And you may think, wow, the RV navigators are rich because they can spend $800 on a credit card, but we look at it as a
savings.
Savings, right? Even at $800. It just renewed for us in December. So we're going to watch it for a year because one of the things they did, which really irked us, was that they took off the 3 points per dollar spent on travel as a benefit. Now, for instance, we are flying in the spring to Tokyo on frequent flyer miles.
And business class.
Business class. And so that's saving us $8,000.
And a lot of pain in our joints.
So we're not sure we can afford to fly business class if we don't have points.
Well, we can, but not very often.
Right. This is a business decision which we are making, and it's based on economics. And we're hoping that without the 3 points per dollar, that it will be still beneficial and worthwhile.
And we hope to have a nice conversation with Jennifer this time next year so we can compare notes about who made the right decision.
And they've added some interesting things like DoorDash.
Boo.
And I would like to hear from you guys. Do you use DoorDash?
Jennifer does.
I know, but I'm talking about other people. DoorDash and Lyft. We use Uber.
Uber, which is not on the card.
But we don't use it that much, and they give you points off for that, and then they give you points off for going to fancy restaurants, discounts for those things. So
we go to fancy restaurants on a cruise.
Yeah, well, so we are definitely contemplating the benefits of this package. So, wow, this New Year's Eve is going by in a hurry.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Are we babbling on?
We are babbling on. Next podcast, we will be celebrating our 20th anniversary as an RV Navigator podcast.
I never imagined we would last this long as podcasters. I imagined we would last this long as a couple, but not as podcasters.
2006, we started this podcast, and we are at episode 250 next month, and that
more champagne.
Ooh, not a bad idea. We'll have a part two of the...
People like to listen to us when we're drinking champagne, so well, maybe we should do it again.
Okay, well, we certainly can. I have enough topics here on our agenda and list. I did want to mention about affinity.
Go to it.
Oh, I need something to drink.
No, you need to start talking. People don't want to listen to you. Drink.
Okay. A lot of people would like to use Photoshop, and they don't want to pay for Photoshop.
It's kind of the complicated, too. It's hard to learn.
Yes, I would agree. We've had available to me Affinity Photo for quite a number of years. And that's been a competitor to Photoshop, but it cost a few bucks and didn't have a lot of users. But they were recently bought out by Canva, and that's a big company that is trying to make a splash in the photo editing world, and they bought Affinity, the whole suite. Affinity actually had three apps. They had a Photoshop app, and they had a Illustrator app, and they have a...
It's an Illustrator app. You can draw on the photos?
Yes, and they had a page layout, a InDesign program, competing with Adobe, which is the programs that I was just mentioning. So the bottom line is that they have bought Affinity, they have combined the three previous products into one, and they're offering them for free. So everybody says, oh, yes, it's free now, or it's free as a beginning, but they're going to charge you. This, I think, is a legitimate use of free, because this company has decided that they're going to make Affinity Photo, their Illustrator, the Affinity Illustrator, and Affinity Page Layout, they're going to make them all free. They are free for downloading, both Mac and Windows. When the wine runs out, the podcast ends. She just poured us a glass. If you are a person who has decided that Photoshop is too expensive or too complex and you don't need Lightroom, then maybe Affinity would be a good choice. So you're going to go to canva.com. I'm going to put a link there. And you can download Affinity. And now the only thing that Affinity wants is that you have to create a Canva account, which is free and they will not bother you. And then you will download the apps and install, well, the app, which is now a singular app, and they promise to make it free forever. And the only issue is that it doesn't include AI features. You can upgrade for a fee and get AI features, but if you don't, we've gone for a long time without AI features, and we've been perfectly happy. It does not have an asset manager, so it does not organize your pictures, but as far as photo editing, and one of the things that I often want to do is do a layout. I want to do just a flyer or one thing. I did a tennis group flyer, or I want to
or the calendar,
or like a calendar. So you know, you just want to do one thing. You don't want to pay for InDesign, a program which I really like, but it's very expensive to have InDesign
and hard for people to learn to use.
Well,
at first.
Yeah, and I don't know if Affinity does that very well, but they do have a page layout feature, and it's included, so it's part of the same free package. So I would definitely consider this as an option for those people who are looking for a Photoshop-like application, which you can use to edit your pictures and make them look better. And on the video side, free video editing, you want to use DaVinci Resolve. And this company has been offering Resolve for free, a free version, for years and years and years. And they have a great reputation for keeping it up to date. It has many sophisticated features, and it's a great video editing program. And it's free. And one of the reasons why they do this is they're trying to lead you into a more sophisticated video editing system or program. But it actually, as a free version, the free version is very good. And it does the job. So many people just stick with that. And you get students involved, and they say, oh, I understand how Resolve works. So if I want to move into the more sophisticated high-end package, they can. And so, that works out well. And I think that Affinity is trying to do the same thing, their photo editing program. So will you use it?
I don't think so. I never heard of it.
Well, that doesn't...
You never told me.
I'm telling you, this just happened.
Well, you shouldn't tell me after I've had a bottle of champagne. I will revisit this topic later.
So we'll have some Thanksgiving jokes.
Thanksgiving is going to be so far away.
I know, but I didn't get these jokes in last month.
Well, whose fault is that?
And that's a nice way to end the podcast.
Fine.
With a few jokes.
Okay.
How are Thanksgiving and Halloween alike?
I don't know. I don't have my glasses on.
They both have goblins.
Oh.
What should you wear at to Thanksgiving dinner?
Pants with an elastic waist.
No. A har vest.
I like my answer better.
When does Christmas come before Thanksgiving? In a dictionary. Why did the cranberries turn red?
Because they were embarrassed.
No, they saw the turkey dressing. What do you do when you accidentally sit on sweet potatoes you made for Thanksgiving dinner? You bring squash casserole instead.
All right, time to move on.
Okay, I'm moving on as fast as I can. What does a vampire call Thanksgiving? Fangsgiving.
I would suggest you save these for next year.
Okay, well, I'm going to just do one more.
Okay.
Why was Thanksgiving soup so expensive? It had 24 carats.
I guess you had to be there.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as New Year's Eve comes close,
and we have
and 10 o'clock draws nigh.
And we have lived up to your high expectations.
What? I'm almost done with the champagne.
I'm right behind him.
Okay.
You can tell.
We will wish you adieu. Oh, should we sing?
No, we should not. We should not. Blah, 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 blah. This is the young man who was kicked out of choir when he was in third grade.
Oh,
what more can we say?
Why was I kicked out of choir?
Because they told you just to move your lips and not to sing. No one will think that's funny but us, but that's okay.
Oh, I think that's sad when I can't sing that much. Well, dear listener, we hope you have a prosperous and a very good and happy new year.
And we've lived up to your high expectations of the January podcast.
Will be a banner year, and we'll see you for episode 250 in January, where we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary as a podcast, which has to be one of the longest RV podcasts.
Is it? Yeah.
It might be one of the longest. When we started, there were no ads.
Nobody was doing this.
And there was a nothing. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will pass it on to the
New Year. Thank you for sticking with us all these years.
Yeah, we do appreciate you listening.
And we hope
you know, it's your comments and your questions and your participation in the podcast which keeps us going. So we hope that you will participate in the not-too-distant future and join us in January.
Happy travels.
Happy travels. Hope to see you in a campground near us. Bye now.